Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. With all the recent talk of political fragmentation in our area, more discussion of consolidation. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, in the last couple of years, our area has seen a sharp increase in heroin use and heroin-related overdose deaths. It's happening in other parts of the country as well. And St. Louis County has been especially hard hit, so much so, a dramatic local ad ran in this year's Super Bowl depicting a young man's overdose death set to music.
First you stole prescription pills from your mom. You threw back a few and then they were gone. So you're jonesing real bad. Yeah, you need some more. So you call the shady guy and say you're looking to score. And that's how you got addicted to heroin. He came over quick, said he got something new. For just $10, you snort or chew. Said just one time, and then you'd be fine. But soon you OD'd, and now you're dying. And that's how you got addicted to heroin. And that's how you OD'd on heroin.
Well, that caught a lot of people's attention. It's the product of the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse St. Louis area. And joining me from that organization is Dan Duncan, the Associate Executive Director, also Detective Casey Lambert with the St. Louis County Police Department's Bureau of Drug Enforcement. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan, that was a very dramatic ad, a very dramatic moment in the Super Bowl, but it's a very dramatic situation, isn't it?
It is, Don, and the ad certainly has gained a lot of attention right away. It's had about 450,000 views on YouTube, and it created a lot of discussion, conversation, mostly positive. Most people understood what we were trying to say right away. Some people didn't understand and were actually even offended by the use of a lighthearted song, but that song... that was the concept of the ad agency, Shoup Consulting, that came up with this. It was very intentional to reflect the lighthearted nature of young people using something like prescription pills in a lighthearted manner. And also the juxtaposition, if you will, of that with the horrible graphic you're seeing of a mom finding her son overdosing. It was to grab people's attention, to say, pay attention, look, this is happening. Our kids are dying. We have to do something. So it achieved the desired results.
The song may be lighthearted, but the message definitely was not, clearly.
Right.
But one of the things about the song that strikes me is since I've heard it, I've been kind of can't get it out of my head. It's one of those things that really stays with you. And that's good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that for the fact that it only showed, you know, a couple times on KSDK, we're hoping to show it more, but for a limited run that it had a very strong impact. And the only people that really got hurt by it, excuse me, and we kind of knew this was unfortunately going to be the case, is anybody who's actually lived through that. And when you look at the numbers, Don, that have occurred in the St. Louis area, we're looking at over 2,300 deaths in the last 7.5 years of young people in the St. Louis area, mostly young people under the age of 30. And that is very dramatic number. That is an unacceptable number. And so, again, we felt like it's time to turn things up a notch.
That's almost as many people as were killed on 9/11 in the Twin Towers, just a few hundred short.
Right. And, you know, excuse me, we've been saying this a lot, but if there was anything else that came along that was killing our kids at this rate, we would be falling all over ourselves to respond to it.
Sure.
But because it's drugs, because it's addiction— we're kind of hands off, and that's not going to cut it. At some point, we have to really get serious about saying, what do we need to do to deal with this? Because we can't just keep going as we have.
And, Casey Lambert, the St. Louis County kids out there, young people in particular, are affected by this. What is going on? Why is this happening now, do you think?
I think because it's so cheap and it's so easy for our young juveniles to get a hold of it. It's at every street corner, basically.
Is there a profile that you've come up with regard to who is actually becoming addicted and who is dying?
That's the difficult part. We can't pinpoint anything. There's no certain area, and there's no specific age group. It's affecting everyone from the ages of 14 to all the way up to 60. And it's in our suburban areas. It's in the city. It's in our neighborhoods. There's nowhere for us to focus our enforcement or even try to get people help. It's everywhere.
Why now? I mean, heroin used to be a bigger deal than it was subsequently, but now it's back with a vengeance.
I think it all stems from prescription pain medications. Everyone starts somewhere. A lot of times it's either marijuana or it's prescription painkillers. And once they run out of that source, they move on to something else. Or if that high isn't good enough, they're going to move to something else. Heroin gives you much more of a potent high, and it happens to be cheaper. And the source of it, it won't run out. You just go back to your dealer. Whereas prescription painkillers, if the doctor's not prescribing it or it's getting too expensive or whatnot, that source runs out, where heroin doesn't. And it's, like I said, it's more of a high. So it's cheaper and you get a better high. I think that's why we're losing this battle.
Dan, you're well familiar with, as I am, with the fact that this was such a big deal 40 years ago, and then it kind of went away. What's your take on what's going on?
Well, as Casey said, you know, it's a matter of the prescription painkillers. I don't think that can be stated enough as being the entry point for so many young people before they get to heroin. And then, of course, it's the Mexican cartels bringing in a cheaper, more potent form of powdered heroin that could be snorted, whereas years ago, for the most part, we had this cheap, inferior grade of black tar heroin that had to be melted down and injected, and that needle was always a barrier for a lot of drug users. I'll use this drug and that drug, but I'm not putting a needle in my arm. Well, that's gone now. And so a lot of young people that are being introduced to it, really, for a lot of them, as Casey said, by the time they're addicted to the prescription painkillers, which are really just a couple molecules off from heroin, you essentially have heroin in a capsule, their willingness to use whatever it takes to keep going to get from becoming sick takes over everything. And so the concern that they may have that they're using heroin is no longer a concern.
I've heard that the addictive quality is such that you take one dose in whatever form, that's it. You're hooked.
Well, not necessarily. It doesn't really work that way. People say that a lot. But I will say this, that when somebody tries it, and that's often the case, there's this curiosity factor, they underestimate the potency, the power of this drug and the euphoria that comes with it and the good feeling. And what they don't realize is their brain chemistry is going to remember what that felt like. So the next time they're in the vicinity of it and they're around it, even though their intention may have been, I'm just going to try it one time and see what it's like, they'll try it again. And then they try it again. And I've had a lot of addicts tell me they just were so shocked how fast it took over and became something that they had to have. And, you know, we've discussed this before, but the difference, I think, between opiate addiction and all the other addictions is not just a matter of chasing a high. It's to keep yourself from getting sick. And with opiate addiction, that's what happens. Once your body becomes addicted, you get very sick, and they call it dope sick for a reason. And you know intrinsically all you have to do is score and use, and it all goes away. And so it just moves up the chain in terms of need, and it becomes more important to you than eating or sleeping or anything else. You have to use. And it's a terrible high. A terrible addiction, and so many young people just fall victim to it, and they don't realize what they're getting into when they first try it.
Casey, anybody can fall victim to it who is exposed to it. But again, one of the impressions I have, and maybe it's a misimpression, is the fact that there are a lot of people in upper middle class levels who are using it now as opposed to what we had seen taking place in past years.
Yes. Again, I'm going to relate that to prescription drugs. That's where those individuals started.
What is the connection between the painkillers that you mentioned a moment ago and the next step to heroin? What ties the two together?
Morphine, the morphine in the drug, and that's what ties them together. Also, I wanted to add back to what Dan was saying. A lot of these addicts, they want to chase that first high that they got. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the best high. And so whenever they get high for the first time, and they go do it again for their second high, they're not going to get that feeling that they did the first time, but they're going to keep trying and trying. And that's another reason why I think we're seeing a lot of overdoses.
We have a caller who wants to get in right now. I think this is a good time to bring in Tom, calling from South County. I have a number of questions we'll get back to, but let's bring Tom in. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. My younger brother died from a heroin overdose a few years ago, and it seems like I know a lot of recovering people, and it seems like there are other drugs that are as addictive as heroin, like maybe meth or cocaine, but it's so easy to die from heroin, and the social cost is very high, and I'd like to see policing be especially aggressive on heroin, and I wonder if that's the way it is, if there's more resources put into stopping heroin dealing and heroin trade than other drugs. I think it would make a lot of sense. Is that the way it is? And if not, how come?
Tom, thanks for the call. Let's give that to Casey.
I know since 2007, the St. Louis County Drug Enforcement Unit has been focusing on heroin. It is the biggest problem that we have. However, we cannot just focus on heroin. We have to focus on other drugs as well. It's one of those things where you can't make everybody happy. So with that being said, I would say a good 75% of our enforcement is being dedicated to heroin enforcement right now. And, you know, it's not the addicts that we're honestly after. I can't get them help, but I have resources to get them help. It's the dealers. They're causing the problems. They need to be punished, and that we need to get them a stricter punishment, because what's happening right now is not cutting. It's not cutting the problem that we have.
Right. But the county police department, and you're very much involved in this, is coming up with an education initiative, as I understand it. What is that all about?
Yes, we're working with HIDA. It's the high-intensity drug trafficking area. Since St. Louis County is seeing the highest increases in heroin overdoses, they've put money together and made a detective. And that sole position of that detective is just to go out to the community and interact with anybody. Doesn't matter what age. There's no speculations. And interact and educate them on heroin, because I honestly think the education part is what's lacking. People don't understand how dangerous it is. They don't understand how addictive it is. And people just don't know.
Reaching them through schools, reaching them through television ads, public service announcements, is that the route you're taking?
That is the route. Anywhere from bus ads to billboards, maybe advertisements in movie theaters, going and doing presentations for schools, town hall meetings, anything that we can make an appearance. You don't have to have, you know, a big crowd. I'll meet anybody one-on-one anytime. If they have any questions, whatnot, just to inform them of what the drug does and how dangerous it is.
Can this work, Dan?
Well, we have been doing increased public awareness for 4 years, and we did see a drop from 2011 to 2012 in St. Louis County deaths, which we were heartened by. Unfortunately, since then, regionally and throughout the state and throughout the country for that matter, there has been a tremendous increase. We had doubling of the amount of heroin deaths from 2010 to 2012 in the country. And so we've come to the point and the conclusion that as important as it is to raise awareness, it's just a starting point, that actually we have to go way beyond that. Education is what NCADA does. We do prevention programs in schools, and we will continue to do that and more of that. But we also have to look to our Missouri legislature. There have been other states such as Kentucky, New Jersey, who have done heroin initiatives across the state where they bring in efforts from several different fronts all at once. So what we're asking our legislature here in Missouri is to look at three or four different key objectives. One is, as we've talked here before, we have to have a prescription drug monitoring program in the state of Missouri. We're the only state in the country that doesn't have it. It's time. We still have one senator on the western side of the state, Rob Schaff, who's blocking it. We need that. We need a Good Samaritan law where people who call 911 when there's an overdose have limited immunity from prosecution if there's an overdose, so that they don't run away and abandon or dump a body. We need wider availability in Narcan. The St. Louis County Police Department is working on carrying it. First responders, that's good, but I think we're going to
tell folks what Narcan is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Narcan is the drug that is an antidote to an overdose. It brings somebody from the brink of death right back quickly. Many states have passed legislation like that. And fourthly, we really need to increase in Missouri the amount of money we're spending, the funding for prevention and treatment. Treatment is hard to come by. We're doing better with adolescents than we are adults, but a lot of young people who start off, let's say, in their late teens using prescription painkillers, they advance into heroin at some point. They're into their early 20s, mid-20s by the time they start to bottom out and unfortunately sometimes overdose. They have a terrible time getting treatment because addiction will remove from your life those kinds of things that like money and insurance that would otherwise help you, you know, get treatment. So we really are going to ask the legislature to look at that, increasing funding for prevention and treatment.
All right. That's Dan Duncan, the Associate Executive Director for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse for this area. Also with me in studio is Casey Lambert with the St. Louis County Police Department Bureau of Drug Enforcement. We're talking about heroin today and the great problem it is here and in other parts of the country as well. We'll come back to continue this conversation in just a moment. Stay with us. If you'd like to talk to either of these guests, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our discussion with Dan Duncan with the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse here in St. Louis and with Detective Casey Lambert of the St. Louis County Police Department. We are making much of what's going on here as well we should because it is a big problem. But, Dan, this is an issue all over the country.
It is. It's spread all over the country, and that's why, you know, I would like to see Missouri take a stronger leadership position, but we are gaining some information from other states in terms of what we might do to, you know, live in the solution rather than the problem. So it's becoming a national phenomenon, and I keep wondering, you know, how bad does it have to get? How many young people do we have to lose before we really take substantial action, whether it be just in the state of Missouri or on a national level, to really deal with this?
Casey, you talked a moment ago about the finding the dealers, that that's really what you have to target. However, isn't heroin sold a little bit differently than what we think of as the stereotypical street corner kind of transaction? Is it different, making it more difficult to find those dealers and the pushers?
No, I don't believe so. It's very easy to get a hold of heroin, like I said, and the dealers are everywhere. And they're getting the drug. Chicago, a big drug cartel. It's coming straight down 70. It's a major access for the St. Louis County area, and that's where we're getting most of our drugs. The dealers get the drugs. They'll shave it down, add even, like, let's say the white powder is the most potent. And if they have brown, they'll put a little baby powder in there, make it look like white. Whatever you're buying off the street, you never know what it is.
But is it being sold literally off the street, or is it being sold differently than?
It's literally being sold on the street.
Just like the pictures we see in The Wire and everything else.
Absolutely.
All right. Making it, should make it easier, but apparently it's not, Dan.
Right.
Let's take some more calls. We'll bring in Surik, calling from University City. I hope I have your name pronounced correctly, Surik. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. So this question is for the woman who mentioned earlier that what needs focus is stricter punishment for drug dealers. Drug dealers are often motivated more economically than they are by anything else. Without other economic opportunities, studies have shown that people tend to turn to underground economies just to make ends meet. So I want to ask, is incarcerating those people really the answer, or can we focus more on the demand rather than supply? Like, at the same time, focusing more on giving these people economic opportunities, these people who are resorting to drug dealing just to feed themselves.
Go ahead, Casey.
Now, here's the thing with the drug dealers. The money that they make is so much higher than anything else. You can go and have a very professional job, make high-income dollars, six figures, and these drug dealers are doing the exact same thing by sitting on their couch, doing nothing. So if you don't have to be responsible, you don't have to get up every morning to go to your job, and you can just make this money at home, and that's what they're already doing, they're going to continue to do so.
At the same time, to give him his due, I think there is something to be said, and I know Casey agrees with this, of balancing out our approach to substance abuse in general and taking a hard look at you know, demand versus supply, because it's demand that drives supply. If there was no demand, we wouldn't be bringing as much heroin into the country because there would be no market for it. So that's why our agency, the NCADA, some years ago really shifted a lot of our focus toward youth to say, if we can go to the front end of the problem and we can educate and prepare youth to make healthy decisions for themselves along these lines, we can start to reduce the demand. But unfortunately, we don't seem to have the will and resources, whether it's as a state or a country, to really devote to that. And that's one of the things that we need to do. And most people that work in our field understand this. And we've even seen a change in law enforcement over the recent years. They're thinking more the same way we are. We can't put all of this on the back of law enforcement. It's not fair.
And this is what the government of Mexico would say, by the way. Its argument being, you know, if it weren't such a demand here in the United States, these cartels would not be running roughshod the way that
well,
they are.
Well, yeah, their time. Perspective is we're just giving you what you want.
Right. Let's take another call. Ron joins us from the Metro East. And the Metro East also has a significant problem we should point out. Ron, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My comment is with regard to the availability and with regard to interdiction. My son is currently addicted to heroin, and I have a nephew who is. We're in a small town. I'm not in Alton. It's readily available in these small towns. So that means that there's mountains and mountains of this heroin coming into our country from other places. It's grown, produced on the other side of the planet. It seems to me as though you'd almost have to be trying not to find it in order to not be catching it coming across our borders in massive, massive quantities.
All right, Ron, thanks for the call. Well, it's not like law enforcement isn't trying, Casey.
Yeah, that's correct. Just within the past 2 weeks, almost 50 kilos were taken off the street. That's a lot. But
in St. Louis County?
In St. Louis County.
50 kilos, that's 110 pounds.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Dan, if that's just what we're catching, can you imagine what's really out there? And you have to also keep in mind that these cases that have been tracking, they're months and months and months. It's not like it's 1 week and, you know, they've made this case and, wow, it's off the street. These are years and years. And, I mean, it takes a lot of time to put together a case like that.
And it's not like they don't have the money to make bail and get back out on the street while this time is happening.
Exactly.
Let's bring in Scott calling from St. Louis. Scott, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to bring up the treatment side of it that seems to be left out. That I was an addict for 7 years or so, and I went to rehab twice, and it didn't really work, to be fair. But then I went to a methadone treatment center, and it has completely changed my life. Right now, I got to pay $16 a day, and I got to drive up to St. Louis to get it. But I think if it was more readily available, especially in the small towns like where I live, out past Eureka, I think it would be helpful to at least try that. And if it was more state funded, like there's a Center for Life, but you have to be on probation and such, I just think we need to focus more on the treatment of the addicts, the prevention like DARE and all that. I don't think that really works.
Thanks for the call. Let's have Dan address that.
Well, I do agree with you in part. I think we need both. We need prevention and treatment, and medication-assisted treatment is part of the solution. And in fact, there are new drugs such as Suboxone and Vivitrol that are probably superior over methadone, although some people would prefer to have methadone, or that maybe that's what works best if they're severely, you know, long-time addicted. But, yeah, I agree. Treatment has got to be part of the solution. And we actually did talk about it a few minutes ago, but I would like to see more treatment available. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's bring John in from Belleville. I think he has what appears to be an interesting point. Go ahead, John.
Hi. I'm a active heroin user. I'm also a functional member of society. I have a full-time job and attend the university. And I heard the lady on her show, I just tuned in not too long ago, but she said that they're focusing most on the dealers, not the users. And I just have to disagree with that. I mean, I get hassled by the police very often. And, there's 20 spots in St. Louis. You can follow the white people through black neighborhoods to find the dealers. And the police just don't seem to be doing that. And I just kind of wanted a clarification on why
she thinks the dealers are the ones being targeted, not the users.
Thanks for the call. Let's get Casey to respond.
Yeah, it might not seem like we're not doing anything. We do a lot of undercover work. We have an anonymous tips hotline. We are just flooded with tips. And unfortunately, we can't even work all of those right now. With that being said, with the manpower that we have, with the amount of law enforcement officers that we have, we are trying to battle this as best as we can. If you take the amount of heroin and the amount of dealers and users that we have compared to police officers, we are definitely outnumbered. Mm-hmm. However, we understand how big of an issue this is, and we're trying to come up with as many ideas as we can to get back into the fight.
What's the youngest overdose victim you're aware of, Casey?
14.
14. Dan, that's
13.
13. Mm-hmm. All right. You're having an event on Friday that is dealing with this as well.
We're going to announce an opiate recovery plan to the community Friday morning. Casey and I will be part of that press conference at the NCADA, and so the public will be hearing a little bit more about the plan of what we might do to tamp this down, because obviously, as this conversation clearly shows, we've got a long way to go.
And Casey, as far as your education initiative in the county, where can folks go to get more information about that?
They can go to the drug enforcement website. It's drugenforcement.com, or they can email me at any time at clambert@stlewis.com.
We'll make it easy on folks who don't have a pencil in their hand at the moment and put all of that information on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. Well, clearly it's a big problem, and hopefully you guys and more people like you can, and all of us can make a difference in this area. Too many kids being lost, and young people and older people as well. Dan Duncan for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, great to see you again. Thanks for being
with us.
Casey Lambert, good luck to you and your new job with the St. Louis County Police Department.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to be back in just a moment to ask the question, would we be better together? That's next on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.